Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. And if you'll stand with me, we're going to begin reading in verse 6. Pick up where we left off. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well." I'm adding a little tone to the text. But I think he was angry. We've already got that in the text, yes or no?
Yes.
So grace is out the window. I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night, perished in a night. Should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Father, as we come to this last session, Lord, we thank you for the work of God that has been accomplished in our hearts. I just want to thank you for how merciful you are, how loving you are. And I pray, Lord, this morning, would you use me this morning, and would you allow our hearts to hear and to be helped and to be changed. And I pray, God, I know, Lord, the mindset this morning. I know everybody's packed and they're thinking of the trip home. But I pray that they would, Lord, listen. And I pray that you would do something in this moment, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We understand where Jonah's at, not just physically, but also where he's at spiritually. Jonah has had a conversation with the Lord. It's not gone well. His first prayer that was found in chapter 2 was a prayer to the Lord, and it was a powerful prayer. God responded, and God allowed the fish to spit up Jonah. But you remember that prayer was when Jonah was empty of himself, when he came to the end of himself. But in chapter 4, that battle of self has come back, and this prayer is quite different. It's very arrogant. It's full of strife. He is right, and he knows, and he's arguing with the Lord, and he's angry with what has happened in his life. He's displeased, is the word. He's just displeased. I didn't like that. I didn't want it to go that way. I'm not happy with this situation. He's displeased, and because of displeasing that's allowed in his life, he now has allowed that to become something that controls him, and the Bible would use the word that he's very angry. In verse 5, Jonah's outside the city, and God begins to work in his life. And I want to just say this, I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of God, that God continues to work in our life even when we are unfaithful to God. Amen. And here is Jonah, and he's outside the city, and he's pouting. And he's having a pity party for himself, and he's waiting to see what's going to happen to the city. And he's isolated himself. He's pulled away from everybody. And spiritually, we talked about last night that his effectiveness and his ministry and his growth, it's all come to a stop. And so notice in verse 6, there's a couple of things that I want you to notice. I want you to notice here in verse 6, the Bible says, and the Lord God prepared. And then in verse 7, but God prepared. And then in verse 8, it says, and it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared. So God is continuing to prepare things for Jonah, and he's preparing these outward things for Jonah to reveal to Jonah what's going on inside of his heart. You'll notice here that, notice it says in verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. By the way, wouldn't you say that God is pretty kind?
Amen.
Yes or no?
Yes.
So when I think of the fish, I want you to know something about the fish. The fish was a miracle. It wasn't a normal fish. The fish enabled Jonah to live 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. That's a pretty miraculous thing. And so I don't know the design of the fish, but God designed it and enabled Jonah to survive in that fish. When we look at this gourd, I want you to notice something about the gourd. The Bible describes the miracle of the gourd and the fact that it came up overnight. This wasn't something that just, you know, you see one day and it sprouts up. In one night, it's full grown. I mean, it's a pretty good sized plant. I'm not going to go into what it is, but it's big enough that it's providing shade for Jonah. And you'll notice here that in verse 6, the last line, it says, so Jonah was, what's the last line of verse 6? Exceeding what?
Glad.
Oh, so you can control how you feel.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, you can. I thought you couldn't. I thought you were like a prisoner to your feelings. No, you, the next day, in one day, he's, and how glad was he? Wow. That's amazing. This guy's like a roller coaster. I mean, if he gets his way, he's exceeding glad. If he doesn't get his way, he's exceeding mad. I mean, he's just up and down and very volatile. So he's exceeding glad over the gourd. And then in verse 7, it says, first two words, what are they? We've been having that, haven't we? Most of the time it's been but Jonah, but here it says, but God. It started off in 1, but it displeased Jonah. But now we're in verse 7. But God prepared a worm, and the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Now stop just for a second. I want you to think about this. The gourd, the storm was miraculous, yes or no?
Yes.
The fish miraculous, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. The conversion of Nineveh miraculous, yes or no? This book is full of miracles.
Yeah.
The gourd, miraculous, yes or no?
Yes.
The worm?
Yes.
Dude, I'd like to see this worm.
Yeah.
Man, that's a whole gourd. It didn't say he brought worms. It said he brought a worm.
Yeah.
And he prepared a worm. And this worm was like, and the next day, man, it destroyed the gourd. How many understand that? That dude could eat.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm like, what? You know, what is this? Like a 15-foot worm? I mean, you know, what is this deal? I don't know how big it is. I wouldn't think it would be something gigantic, but God gave it the ability, and God created it for a purpose. Isn't it amazing how God, it's almost like everything in your life, every single thing in your life is there by God. From the gourd to the little worm, God is putting everything in your life. Well, I just want the gourd, I don't want the worm. That's not how life works. Yes or no?
Yes.
He puts everything. And he is God. And he chooses it. And he knows, let me say this, young people, I want you to hear me when I say this. God knows exactly what you need today. He knows the worm that you need. And you may say, I don't want the worm. And he's like, you need the worm. It's exactly what you need in your life. Because I'm trying to help you to see something in your life. We can see the problems in others, but it was the worm that was to help Jonah to see what was in his heart. And I am quick and you are quick to assess other people's lives. Yes or no?
Yes.
We're able to see, man, they've got problems and they've got issues and they need to do this. But it is the worm that God brings into my heart that helps me to see. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Everybody with me on this? Now, what is Jonah's problem? So we find here the two reactions. With the gourd, how did he respond in verse 6? Verse 6, how did he respond in verse 6, the last line? Exceeding glad. Then comes the gourd, or the worm, in verse 7. And then he prepares a vehement east wind. And the vehement east wind, this is prepared just for Jonah. And it beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted. And now what does he wish in himself? In verse 8, what does he wish? To die. And so notice this. Because it's a very hot day at camp. And the worm ate my gourd. It's better for me to just die than to live. Wow. Everybody getting this?
Yeah.
So God, watch this. Every day, God prepares for you exactly what you need. Because he is trying to deal with your heart. Why do I have that little brother in my life? Because God knew exactly what you needed.
That's right.
Why did we have to get a flat tire today? Because God knew exactly what you needed. Is everybody with me on this? Why was it so hot at camp? Because God knew exactly what you
needed.
Now, I want to kind of capture this. Brian, come help me if you would just for a second, all right? So I want you to get this. This is not my normal closing message at a camp, but it's where we're at today. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Come on. Go to Nineveh. And the whole time, it's been like Jonah has fought God on every issue. Yes or no? Did he go to Nineveh? Did he go to Nineveh? Yes or no?
Yes.
Did it take a whale?
Yes.
He obeyed, but because of the hardness of his heart, it's almost like every step. Let's go to church. Come on. Stop fighting me.
Gotta fight.
Come on. Let's go to church. Come on. Hey, did you read your Bible this morning? No. We need to read your Bible. I mean, we've talked about this like 5 times this week. You need to start reading your Bible. Okay. All right, if I give you $5 a day, will you read your Bible? Oh, I'll try.
Come on.
Everybody with me on this?
Yes.
So every step of the way with Jonah, there's been an attitude.
Right, yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes.
He does submit, but it's been this constant battle, and he fight. Prophet of God, yes, I fear the Lord. And he's a piece of work, isn't he? Yes or no?
Yes.
And here's the problem that I want you to get all throughout the passage, and it's where it ends. Jonah, every step of the way, I've had to push and pull and push and pull, and you've been arguing And you've had this stinking attitude throughout the whole book. And there's one thing that is clear. One thing that is clear throughout the whole book of Jonah. Not one verse and not one page can we ever question that God loved Jonah. Every day he was preparing for Jonah. Every day he was caring for Jonah. Every day he was thinking of Jonah. There's not one verse or one page where we can say God did not show his love to Jonah.
Amen.
The question is not whether God loved Jonah. Question is, does Jonah ever love God? You know why there's such a fight? It's not that he's just self-centered. Listen to me. Jonah is in love with himself. Yes or no?
Yes.
Come on. Come on. Why is it so much work? And I'll tell you why it's so much work in your life. Because you don't love God. You don't have a love for God the way that he has a love for you. You love the gourd, but you don't love God. Is everybody with me on this?
Right. Amen.
Let me see it. Thank you. Now I want you to kind of see this. In verse 9, God begins to ask Jonah a question. Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Now God asked him in verse 4. This is the second time that the Lord is asking him this question. Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And so now he's focusing on something. Why is Jonah angry about the gourd? Somebody help me. Why is he so angry about the gourd? Why is it so personal? Does everybody catch that? It's personal to him. Why is it so personal? I want you to think through this. Why? Yes, sir.
It was the first thing that went his way.
Oh, yeah. He loved the gourd because he loves himself.
Right.
By the way, that's usually the people that we hang with, isn't it? You know, we those that love us, we love them. And those who, you know, tell us how good we are and how great we are. And so here is the gourd. The gourd is self-aiding. And so notice here that Jonah, God asked him, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto what? Death. So notice something here that I want you to capture. God prepared these outward things to reveal Jonah's heart and what Jonah really loved. Jonah responds to the gourd with gladness because he loves the gourd because he loves himself. He despises the worm because he loves himself. He doesn't want the east wind because he loves himself. And his world, although Jonah, listen to me when I say this, although Jonah believes that he is spiritual, it's amazing how we can think that we're so good and godly. But Jonah believes he is spiritual, and God is trying to reveal to him that when you're self-centered and you only love yourself, that you're really shallow. He's not spiritual. He's pretty small. He's pretty shallow. And his world revolves around a gourd. Some of you last night, you heard me talk about a 13-year-old girl that shot her mom. What was the reason she shot her mom? Cell phone. Some of you were like, what? That's so small. That's so shallow. How can somebody be so shallow? People that are in love with themselves are very shallow.
Right.
Why is he getting so upset over a gourd and over a worm? I'll tell you why. Because he's very shallow. Because he doesn't love God. He loves who?
Himself.
And notice here what he says in this the mindset of God. Notice verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored. In other words, you have no investment in this. It only had investment in you, but you had no investment in it. In other words, it's a one-way relationship. Does everybody get that? It's a little deep, but hopefully you'll get it.
Good.
You didn't put any investment in it. It was only what you could get, not what you could give. Notice what else he says. Neither made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. Now stop. Here's exactly what he's saying. You're in love with yourself, and you're upset over something that you didn't invest in. You only loved it because it invested in you. By the way, have you ever seen a friend and they were only your friend as long as you could pay and give out? But if it was their turn to give out or to invest or to clean, isn't it funny how those people disappear? Yeah. And then he makes another point. He says, and this was very temporal. It came up in the night. It was gone in the night. I mean, it was just for the moment. You love and you live in the moment. Now notice what he says in verse 11. And should not I, what's that next word?
Spare.
Now, I want you to do something, and I have this in my Bible, but I want you to circle the word spare, and I want you to go back to verse 10, and I want you to notice the word pity, and they're the same root word God uses. Now, they're translated, one is translated pity, and one is translated spare. But it's literally what God is saying is this. Here's what God is saying. He's saying this. What you had for a plant, I gave to souls. Is everybody with me on this? You loved the plant, and I loved people. It's a vast difference, Jonah. It's a vast difference. A vast difference. And I want to challenge you this morning, because what will cause you to not just have a chapter 3 and your life just stops is when you not only get the victory over self, but I just want to kind of give you this caveat this morning is this. Like, Brother Vance, how do I have victory over myself? And here's the key. You've got to start loving God. Somewhere in your life, you've got to start loving God. And instead of living in a world that is, well, that doesn't please me, or that does please me, or I'm displeased with this. And a self-centered person is always working around what pleases me and what doesn't please me. And I like the gourd and I don't like the worm. Can I encourage you to start loving God and start living your life and saying, does this please God? Does this attitude please God? Does this response please God? Does this music please God? Do these clothes please God? Do these words please God? Does this action please God? Because my life is not about me. My life is about loving God. And I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing to me when you just start loving God, how everything fixes itself. You start loving God, nobody's going to have to bend your arm and say, now when you go home, you need to talk to your parents. When you love God, you'll go home and talk to your parents.
Right.
You love God, well, you ought to give a testimony. Yeah, let me twist my arm. I don't really want to. I don't feel comfortable doing this. Hey, when you love God, you win so many battles.
Right.
You literally go from being so shallow to becoming spiritual. And there's such a change in your life. And all of a sudden, you start becoming deep and rooted. And people are like, what happened to that person?
Yep.
They're not the same. And by the way, camp wasn't like a gourd that came up in their life and the next day the worm ate it around. By the way, probably there's several of you that are probably tired of just going through the phase of making a decision and 3 weeks being back in the same boat.
Yep.
You know what the difference is? Why don't you start loving God?
Amen.
Some of you need to come to the altar and you need to confess the sin of not loving God. If most of the counselors were honest today, I would tell you, if you were to say, but Nance, what is one of your greatest prayer requests? My prayer request is this: every day, I just don't want to walk with God. I want to love God. If I love God, I will walk with God.
That's true, right? Amen.
Is that true? But if I don't love him, the walk is going to be like this. All right, Carrie, come on, get in the car. Oh, don't forget your Bible. Come on, Carrie, come on. Let's go to Nineveh. I don't want to. Let's go to Nineveh. I don't want to. Go to Nineveh. I'm going to get a whale.
Right.
And some of you have such an attitude because your parents in your life is trying to be the Holy Spirit because they love you. God's put them in your life.
Yes.
And they're not a worm.
Right.
And they're constantly pushing you, trying to somehow get you to go forward. But I'm going to tell you something. Their hand's not going to be there when you turn 18 and 19. And if you don't love God, you'll be sitting outside of the city, isolated, pouting, and mad because of a stinking worm.
You're right.
That didn't go your way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God help us. It's not just walking with God. It's loving him.
That's good.
And today, you know, it's amazing to me. Listen to me. If you'll start loving God, you'll start recognizing, God, you put that worm in my life today. And I recognize you put that worm in my life today because you knew exactly what I needed. And you put that in my life today, not because you're mean, but because you love me.
Right.
You put that sword in my life. You put that wind in my life. And all these things you put in my life because you're such a great God and you love me and you're trying to work inside of my heart to help me to recognize that I need to love God.
Right.
Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you might work in our hearts today. Lord, would you help us to realize it's not about somebody twisting our arm, pushing us and shoving us and prodding us. Lord, it really comes down to when we finally come to the end of ourselves. We stop being so shallow and we realize, God, you put these things in my life on purpose because you're trying to help me to love God. And I pray, oh Lord, I know it's the last morning, but I pray this morning, that he would help some of these young people to finally see that the worms and the gourds you put in their life is to help them. And I pray, Lord, that they would get over their shallowness, that they would come to a place where they love God.